This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, Houston. Welcome into the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Of course, the Ryder Cup is behind us, and now we have more local, more important things to focus on. We have the CanCare Classic on Monday. Charlie, great to be with you this morning.
Well, it's great to be with you and our special guest, Johnny Carrava, who is the chairman of the CanCare tournament this year, held at Memorial Park October the 9th. It really benefits people in cancer, and it's really been a great story for 30 years. Johnny, and one thing I like about Houston is the quality of people that raise money for charity and for other people. And you take your time, you're a busy man, and you're the chairman of the CanCare. Why?
CanCare has been very special to me. And I didn't know much about CanCare, but my mother, Rosie, everybody
knows Rosie.
Nobody knows me, nobody, but they know Rosie. But she came down with cancer several years ago. And, yeah, you know, me and my sister and my dad, you know, we were there for her, but that was uncharted waters for us.
Right.
And then we had a young lady named Donna Lewis who was with CanCare, and she held my mother's hand through the whole process. And there's, Charlie, you know, the older we get, you know, we start thinking about things, but people never forget how you treat their parents or how people treat your children. And I'm a loyal person, and I never will forget what CanCare did for my mother.
So now you're giving back.
Yeah, you got to give back.
We got the tournament sold out on Monday at Memorial Park. We're going to have a lot of friends and neighbors out there doing their deal on the golf course, but raising important money, you know. And I got involved with it 30 years ago. Dick Harmon and I, excuse me, Jack Kendall, the famous Jack Kendall from Lakeside Country Club, he says, boys, come on out. We're going to have a little, you know, tournament to raise some money. And so it's been going on for so long. And I'm proud to be a part of it. Will's going to have his team. And
Charlie, you're quite the survivor yourself.
Yeah.
Tell listeners that story.
Yeah, I've had my run-in with cancer, too. And luckily I had a doctor that was really, really on the know and got me through bladder cancer. And then my wife had breast cancer. So, you know, so we you know, it's part of our society, and we fight it, and we're winning. And takes a lot of money, but CanCare is one of the great organizations in Houston.
Yeah, it's been going on for 33 years, and it's getting stronger, you know. But, you know, like I said, it's uncharted waters. You know, I mean, you when you hear the word cancer, you
right.
know, that scares the heck out of you right away.
Yes, sir.
You don't know where to go.
Right.
And then, but Thank God for CanCare. They yeah. do wonderful. You know, they've been going on for 33 years.
Yeah.
This is the 30th annual
golf event,
and this is their biggest way of raising money for this great organization.
Why does golf and philanthropy go hand in hand together?
Well, great people are golfers, and great people want to give back to the society, and they take time out to do this. And they're successful in their business life, so they're successful in putting together organizations such as CanCare to raise money for people and the pursuit of beating cancer. And it's all about society, and there's so many great people that you never heard of that give back. Our city, starting with Jackie Burke, as far as being the charge of charity, philanthropy for and using golf as a conduit to get people out, and it's incredible.
You mentioned, you know, Mr. Burke. He gave me some of the, always gave me the if even if I didn't want to hear it. He always gave me the best business advice. And I'm so glad you mentioned his name, because he always t- told me as a young man when I was a member of Champions for the 20 years, he always said, hey, don't forget to give back. He goes, your community's taking care of you. He goes, you make sure you're there for your community. And, you know, you learn a lot from older, wiser people. He was one of them. He still is one of them. Loving.
When I worked for Jackie, he'd say, Epps, he says, I'm going to put you on a soup diet, and we're going to have lunch in the back of the kitchen every day, and we're going to talk, and we're going to figure out this thing. And he still is. He's 101 years old. Incredible human being. So
you know, I don't want to get us off track, but I got to tell you one of the best stories that Mr. Burke. I have so many great stories with him, but one of my probably. But this one story was I was getting ready. I was remodeling my mother's location on Woodway and Voss, and he goes, "There's something on your mind, isn't it?" Because he could tell by my golf swing there was a lot on my mind. He goes, "There's something on your mind." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, Mr. Burke," I said, "you know, I'm spending a lot of money on this remodel." I said, "I don't know." I said, "It's kind of foolish money. You know, I was kind of like nervous about it as a young businessman, you know. I know it needed remodeling." He goes, "Hey, hold on for a second." He goes, "You ever see," he goes, "you're at Champions, you know, 2-3 days a week." He goes, "You ever see I'm always making changes around here? I'm always painting. I'm always planting trees." He goes, "You know, I'm so old now." He goes, I don't even buy green bananas. He goes, "But let me tell you something. You can never spend too much money on your business." He said, "You're going to remodel this location." He goes, "And what your customers are going to do, it's going to be like a grand reopening." He goes, "They're going to leave and say, did you see what Johnny did to his location?" He goes, "It's going to come back to you." And you know what I mean? It's like those old think about golf, man, and the old school golf pros. They taught you more than golf. They taught you a lot about life, and golf is life. And so I love Mr. Burke.
Yeah, we all do.
Once again, we're on ESPN 97.5 with CanCare Chairman Johnny Carrabba. CanCare's tournament will take place Monday, October 9th, Memorial Park Golf Course, benefiting cancer survivors. And the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, is the 30th anniversary honoree. Johnny, how'd you first find a passion for golf?
Well, to be real upfront with you, you know, I tell you my godfather, Rocco, he introduced me to the game of golf. And I know it's kind of hard for you listeners out there to believe that a Sicilian boy like me would have a godfather named Rocco. But but my godfather, uncle, I was like his second son. I mean, no, I wasn't second. I was like his son because he had two daughters, and then it was, you know, me and my sister. But he took me in, and like I said, he was like a second father to me. And my dad was very confined to the grocery store business. They had, you know, Carrabba's Friendly Grocery on the east end side of Houston. And my dad couldn't really break away. My godfather would, you know, on occasions take me fishing. But then one day he goes, "I want you to sleep at my house on Friday night." He goes, "And then on Saturday morning, I'm going to wake your ass up, wake you up early." I'm on the radio.
You're good.
But I'm going to wake you up early. He goes, "And I want you to caddy for me." And the golf course was really Gus Wortham, but it was called Houston Executive Club. Houston Executive Club originally was Houston Country Club before they moved over there, you know, in Tanglewood. And most every Saturday morning, I would wake up at 5:30 with him, and I would go caddy for him. And that's what introduced me. Not that I played, but I caddied. And then when I was in high school, I went to St. Thomas High School here in Houston, Texas. Me and my buddies would go play golf. And I was a baseball and a football player, but golf, I think I was a natural athlete. And so golf, I never really got good at golf. But it was a way of being somewhat athletic and using your athletic abilities. And I fell in love with the game. The camaraderie of it was really more important than anything else, you know. Golf is a lot like life.
Charlie, how much does that compare to your introduction into the game? Kind of a Was it a family member that introduced you to the game? How do you remember the specifics of the first time you picked up a club?
Well, my father moved our family in 1954 to Argentina, and he worked for a company that was going to build an automobile factory. And the people that we took 100 families to Argentina, and the people that organized the move gave us information on what Argentina was like. They had horses and they had, you know, all this kind of stuff, but they didn't have baseball or football that I was into, but they had golf. And so this gentleman told my father to buy a set of kids' clubs, right-handed. Don't let him play left-handed. I was left-handed. And so I got inducted into golf in the fall of 55, really, by my father. And I fell in love with it real quick, real quick. And now it's 50 years later, I'm still trying to find a secret, and my golf game is gone. Birthday, you know.
That's not true. I still see you hitting little tie draws, Charlie.
I'm sneaky short. You know, the ball just looks pretty up there, but it falls out of the sky real quick.
Boom. Yeah, they call you 180 straighty.
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but it's for the love of the game, and that's why we're going to raise great money with CanCare on Monday, and we try to spread the word through this medium, a radio show. And charity is really important in my life, in Johnny's life, your young life. So we're having fun.
When we come back, we'll be right back with Johnny Carrabba, the chairman of CanCare, for more on Monday's tournament.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, back on ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, where we have CanCare Chairman Johnny Carrabba live with us in studio. Last segment, we talked a little bit about why such a successful businessman like himself is entering, is fully involved in the philanthropic world. In case you missed that, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcast or Spotify. We continue along on a Saturday morning. Johnny, what was your experience like growing up in Houston?
Well, when I was growing up, you know, I'll be 65 in December. And when I was growing up, Houston was really basically a small town. I mean, it was, you know, and I still feel like it has a town feeling, but it was a small town. I mean, Galleria wasn't there. That was just farmland. I had some relatives that moved to Memorial, and my grandfather thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. Why would they want to move way out to Memorial? Like, I'm talking about, like, where Carrabba's is at Woodway and Voss. You know what I mean? Like, that part of Memorial. The city was really small. It was mostly from downtown. You know, yeah, naturally River Oaks was there. And we didn't know anything about River Oaks then, but... You know, east. It was mostly east.
Yeah, what is that east end now? If we went there today, what would that be?
Well, they call it Edo now.
Okay.
They call it Edo now. But, like, my dad's grocery store, my grandfather started the grocery store. But I got to back up a little bit. But the name of the grocery store was Carrabba's Friendly Grocery. So my grandparents started it. My parents bought it from my grandparents. And my mother, Rosie, who's a glory hog, she said it wasn't very friendly until she showed up. but East End was, you know, it's by the Ship Channel, you know. But it was just, you know, yeah, you know, Hobby Airport was there. But that, you know, Intercontinental wasn't, you know, Houston was small. And I think it was really, it was a great place to grow up.
Well, when I arrived here in 73, it was even little then. I mean, comparatively speaking to you would think of Houston, Dallas. And since then, I really helped Houston grow. You know, no, but it's exploded with the oil business, with the medical center. The medical center that we have is second to none. That's why CanCare is so important. That can help you know the medical community survive and grow and help people. And Johnny, it's really amazing, this city.
You know, it's funny. You know, when sometimes you know we would get, you know, I went to St. Thomas and we would, you know, after school, we would go out to Katy.
Katy.
We'd go out to Katy and go duck hunting.
Yes.
Katy, I mean, when I drive around, you know, I still look for locations, and I'm still, you know, but I cannot believe how big this city is. But, you know, I mean, look at, you know, Kingwood, yep. Katy. I can go on, Pearland.
Woodlands.
The Woodlands, man. I mean, what a vision Mr. Mitchell had with the Woodlands.
But incredible.
Conroe's like one of the fastest growing towns in the United States. Sugar Land was nothing, but the city, you know, is it now. If you would have known how big it was going to get, and you know, you had some foresight, some people did, you could have made a lot of money on buying some cheap, you know, rice fields out in Katy.
Yeah. So growing up, your parents owned Carrabba's Friendly Grocery. How did their experiences help shape you?
Well, you know, the older I get, I say this almost every day of my life now. You know, you learn without knowing that you're learning.
That's a grocery good statement.
Huh?
That's a good statement.
You know, I look back and I look at all my coaches at St. Thomas. I didn't learn too many things from my teachers because I didn't have the IQ for it, but I learned so much in that grocery store. You know, first of all, it was a mom-and-pop deal. My dad was very attention to detail. His shelves looked perfect. I didn't know it at the time, you know, when he was telling me to, you know, line up the shelving, but it was attention to detail. His butcher shop was meticulous, man. I mean, attention to detail. Just like, you know, Will, just like your golf bag. You know what I mean? You mark your balls, you have tees in a certain – that butcher shop was – the meat was – he took a lot of pride in it. So my dad was the butcher. My mother was the cashier. My mother greeted everybody with a smile. It was back when they were I could talk about this grocery store all day, but it was back when bubble gum was a penny, candy bars were a nickel. People would come in there and say, hey, can I get 4 slices of bologna? Can I get 5 slices of ham? You would have to get all that meat out and slice it up. And I didn't really care for it. But then what I really learned was my parents were a part of the community. Everybody had credit. They'd come in and do their shopping, and they'd sign a pad, and then they'd get paid on Friday. They'd pay their bill off. But we made deliveries. My mother cooked lunches for all the industry workers. Mm. You know, she was famous for her hot dogs and hamburgers. But I think I learned the most from the way we were, the way my parents treated the community. I had to go to a lot of birthday parties for customers' kids. I had to go to a lot of baptisms. I had to go to a lot of weddings. I didn't really want to, but you learn about how to be a part of that community, and that's what I think that I'm really proud about my business is because we're part of our community and we give back. And it, without that grocery store wheel, I wouldn't have learned that.
But now you're a part of, 250 communities. I traveled for 9 years with Cabrera.
Yeah.
You know, on the PGA Tour. And we always found the Carrabba's.
Yeah. And then
in South Carolina, North Carolina, we went to a Carrabba's 6 days in a row. I mean, that's where the good food was.
Those Argentinians love Italian food.
They love that Italian food. That's it. That pasta Carrabba.
That's why he looked the way he looked.
That's right. So, but it's community is what it's all about. Supporting your community, right?
You have to give back, and you know there's an old saying: you give for the sake of giving, and not for the sake of gaining. But whenever you give, it always comes back.
That's it. And you've done a great job with that, and not only with CanCare, but you support your phone's ringing all the time.
It's really bad right now, but I can't really complain because I'm blessed. You know, everybody says I'm blessed, but I'm really blessed. But I'm the luckiest guy in town. And let me tell you, without the people that have called me about, you know, their charity endeavors,
yeah,
they've been supporting me for 37 years.
Yeah,
and you know, yes is the answer. What's the question? Is my policy? And yeah, you're right.
Well, Charlie, I'll tell you who I checked the group list for Monday, and there's a couple teams there from our friends over at Insperity playing on Monday. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Well, like Johnny, Insperity established their business in 1986 and have built it to quite a business. But, you know, during these hard times, economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped his clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above the challenges. And their philosophy is they're helping business succeed so communities can prosper. That is what it's all about. And Paul Servati and his team is really a unique business because it's HR-driven. It's taking care of people. His philosophy to his business, and now he's almost got 4,000 employees, is take care of your partners. Take care of the people that help grow your business, and then take care of your customers. Like Johnny has in his business, he takes care of his customers. So if you want to grow your small business and you need some help, log on to Insperity.com or give them a call and have one of their experts come out and just visit with you, and they can share what they do and they can see what you do, and it'll be a great marriage. So Insperity.com, it's a great, great, great company, and it's ours in Houston, Texas.
Charlie and Johnny, 2 minutes left in this segment. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last week in the world of golf. The U.S. The U.S. loses the Ryder Cup 16.5-11. Europe wins in Rome. What were your thoughts on that, Charlie?
Well, the United States did not lose. Europe won, and because of many things. But you can't. Can you imagine Jack Nicklaus not playing 4 weeks before a championship? They weren't prepared. They've been on vacation, so they got caught with their pants down. They lost every match the first session, so they made that big mistake. Forget about all the other stuff. That is not right. You got to prepare if you're going to play.
Well said, Charlie. When we come back, more from Johnny Carrabba, the chairman of CanCare and the founder of Carrabba's, on his career and his life. We'll look forward to hearing that right on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back aboard here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back with CanCare chairman and owner of Carrabba's, Johnny Carrabba. Johnny, great to have you in studio once again. What was your original inspiration to open Carrabba's in 1986?
Well, it was the right thing at the right time. You know, I was very lucky. I had three uncles that were in the restaurant business, Vincent Mandola, Tony, and Damian Mandola. And I worked for all of them. You know, while I was while I was flunking out of college, I worked for all of them. I bartended, waited tables, you know. And
did you have an interest in food during this time?
Well, my two grandmothers were really unbelievable in the kitchen. My grandma Mandola, which is Grace, I named a restaurant after her, and it's called Grace's. She was the best cook I've ever met, and I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of good, fancy, you know, well-known chefs. Their food was nothing, because my grandmother had really, you know, she had the Sicilian, the Italian side of her cooking, but then also she was raised in Louisiana. So when you mix those two cuisines, you know, that's pretty hard to beat, and we always had home-cooked meals every night. Sunday meals were, you know, the reason why I'm a little bit on the pudgy side. But she gave us the tools that we needed, like taste buds, and you learn through osmosis. You know, you learn by just tasting and being around. But the the mastermind to Carrabba's was my Uncle Damien. He's only 6 years older than me, and he owned a restaurant called Damien's Downtown. He had went to New York, and he had saw these restaurants that had, you know, open kitchens. You know, you could see the cooks cooking, and you had wood-burning pizza ovens. And I was – Will, don't let me get too long-winded, but I was working for my Uncle Tony Mandola, managing a restaurant for him, Tony Mandola's Blue Oyster Bar, which was really a great place. And I was a young guy, and I was managing that. Well, Damien had Damien, so he on his way home, he would drive down Shepherd, and he would stop off, and we would eat late at night. 10 o'clock, we'd be eating fried seafood platters, right? And that's how you get to be big and strong. You eat really a lot of fried foods late at night, and then you go to sleep real fast, right? So he's a biscuit over 300. I was a biscuit under 300. But he had this plan, and he goes, do you want to do it with me? And I had mixed emotions because he's recruiting me from his brother, my uncle, my boss. But I got really excited. Well, I called him later on and said, yeah, I'm really interested in doing this deal. And like I said, he was the mastermind, but he ran Damien's and I was in charge of Carrabba's. And we opened up on December 26, 1986, the day after Christmas. And it was a dynamite in a bottle. It was Will, but I got to tell you something, man. It was the original restaurant was 3,000 feet. It was 98 chairs and 8 bar stools.
Wow.
And
today?
Today it's like over 300 seats, you know what I mean? But, you know, we kept on growing. I opened up the Woodway Boss location where my mother's at every day. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call from my good friend Chris Sullivan at Outback Steakhouse. And that's when we grew the chain part of it. I'm out of that now, but still own the two originals. And
in those early days, what do you remember the biggest challenges that you faced were?
Well, you know, it's all about the team. So when you first open up, you know, you're hiring people you don't really know. So to develop that culture, that team spirit, it was really hard, you know. And you know, I know that younger people don't want to hear some older guy saying how hard they work, but my DNA wants me to run one little business and run it well and then hand it off to your family, right? But especially my DNA, you know, we run a shop. But for 2 years, I worked from 8 in the morning till midnight, 7 days a week. So if you do the math, it's, you know, 110, 115 hours a week. The sleep deprivation and I was worn completely physically and mentally worn out. I remember on 3 occasions I was sitting on a milk cart in the walk-in refrigerator, and I sat there and broke down and cried because I didn't think I could do it. But
and was this 86, 87, those first 2 years?
We opened up in December of 86, but 80, you know, that was just that the 86 was gone because it was December, but it's 87, 88 were grueling years. I wouldn't change it for the world because it grew me up. You know, it's all about the journey. You know, my kids are never going to believe how hard I worked, but I'm glad I did because it built a lot of character, you know.
The proof is in the pudding. You know,
you have to have a good foundation, Charlie.
Very, very successful. And to see your mother still on the Voss location, because I was a pro at Houston Country Club, you were right down the street, and you put a lot of weight on me, Johnny. I mean, I really upset with you. The pasta.
I think you've been to Carrabba's more than I have, Charlie.
Do you remember making the first menu, Johnny?
Oh yeah, me and my uncle made it. The first recipe that I came up with that I you know, you had to have recipes, right? You still have to cook from the heart, but you have to follow a recipe, just like a golf swing. I don't know. I've never had a recipe to a golf swing, but. But the first one I made was lasagna.
Ooh,
and, man, you talking about hard. Because, I mean, people don't know, but you have to make your meat sauce. You have to make your tomato sauce. You have to make your pasta. You know, and putting it together is just really a grueling thing. But that was my first recipe that I made. And then the second recipe I made, and we still have it on, is cream puffs or profiteroles. That was my first dessert. And then Yeah, it's been a good run, though, man. I'm lucky.
No. Thank God for Carrabba's.
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, Charlie, when you go to Carrabba's, what do you get? What's your fastball there?
Well, you know, the pasta is the main reason you go, but then you have the pasta marinara, and you put a couple of meatballs with it. The salad, got to have the Carrabba's salad. Your salad dressing is unique, right? Who came up with that?
It was a chef at Damien's named Joseph Rosicci, and he came up with this, and it's a takeoff of really it's hard to make, man, but it's a takeoff of a Caesar salad. It's just not as strong as a Caesar salad, but it's a lot of work to make in that.
To have good pork chops, good salmon. I mean,
is there a reason behind the single olive in that salad?
Well, it used to be four, but I was kind of running out of money, so we cut it down to one.
And I never get it because my wife loves olives. But
well, you can always ask for a couple more in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's great place for birthdays and anniversaries. You know, those places are hospitality reigns, right? Your wait staff, everybody's attitude is incredible.
Well, you know, since I was raised in that grocery store, you know, I think it's very important for us to remember that we're a family-owned neighborhood business. And the one thing that really, you know, as I get older, you know, I'm really cherishing it a lot more. I'm still very hungry. You know, my pride is my pride drives me now. My people drive me. But I think that the couple things that I would say is that, you know, we want to be a generational business. Well, I know of about eight families where we're feeding four generations. You know, my good friends, I mean, I can name them all, but my good friends, the Reckling family.
Oh, yes.
I've been feeding, I say it with respect, but Mr. T.R. and Mrs. Isla, I've been feeding them, and now I'm feeding their great-grandchildren. And the other thing that, you know, so generational business, but you have to have generational employees. So I have this is not a promotion. I don't self-promote myself, but I have a new cookbook coming out in November. But the one thing I'm really proud about, and the reason that I'm mentioning this, is I'm featuring 25 employees in this book, Charlie,
is
Will,
that right?
That they've been with me 30 years or longer.
Wow.
And so when you're loyal, old-fashioned values, when you're loyal to your people, they're going to be loyal back. And
yes.
What it does, it comforts your guest because, when Charlie – I'm not lying to you. When Charlie comes in, more people know him than know me. And but again, my employees know Charlie. You know, naturally the community knows him. And but that's what makes a family-owned neighborhood business. Old-fashioned values, man.
You trust that you have people in there that when Charlie walks in, they're going to treat him the same way as you would every time. And that's the key to
it's all about having a family feel. Yeah. Old-fashioned, you know, but like Charlie mentions the salad dressing, right? The salad dressing is not easy to make, but the lady that makes the salad dressing at my mother's place that Charlie goes to all the time, she's been with me 30 years.
Incredible. That's the story behind it. Nothing but love and passion behind it.
Got to have it, man.
Johnny Carrabba, we'll be back with the CanCare chairman and Carrabba's owner on the other side to talk more about the CanCare Golf Classic happening Monday at Memorial Park Golf Course. This is Charlie Epps Golf Fibers and by Insperity. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, before we continue along with the great Johnny Carrabba, I got to tell you about my friends over at King Ranch Ag and Turf. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations and is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you are a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, their partners are Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and Memorial Park Golf Course, home of the CanCare Classic and home of the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal that you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Go see them at one of their 9 locations and visit their website at kingranchagandturf.com to check out any special deals at King Ranch Ag and Turf. We continue along here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie, looking at the game of golf, we have the CanCare Classic on Monday at Memorial Park Golf Course. It's the 30th anniversary of this tournament, benefiting cancer survivors everywhere. What does Monday mean to you?
Well, it's all about giving. Our country is incredible country, and it teaches our parents teach us how to give back and share in what we have. Other people have especially in healthcare. Healthcare is so expensive. You know, we have to have insurance, but we have to have organizations like CanCare that raise money to help other people. So anytime I'm involved on a Monday outing, especially for cancer, and it's all about helping other people.
Johnny, you remember the first time meeting Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
What was that experience like?
It was a little intimidating for me, you know.
Me too.
But as soon as you meet Charlie, you know, I met him at Houston Country Club. He doesn't remember this, but I met him at Houston Country Club for the first time. I just happened to be out there playing, and, you know, like I said, it was intimidating, but you knew that you liked him right off the bat. And you know, it's funny, you know, when you meet people and then you think about him, you know, you have been knowing him for years now, but when you think of, if I think about Charlie Epps, I just have to start smiling. You have people like that in your life, Will, like, you know, you just have to start smiling, and it's almost like a laugh because it's like when I look at him, I said, what's going on in that mind of his? I know there's something, he's thinking about something, you know what I mean? But it's just heartwarming.
I know what he's thinking when he's looking at me. Get it together, Moose.
but it's really, I would have to, you know, Charlie's a character.
Yeah.
He's a great character, and I think that's a compliment to somebody. Is, you know, he has character, and he is a character.
100%.
Thank you.
How did you and the team at CanCare decide that this was going to be the year that that Charlie would be involved as the honorary guest?
Well, I get a phone call from a couple people, but Michael Wiesenthal, you know, he's a cancer survivor. Been known each other since we were about 16 years old. You know, his dad, Harold, did a lot for golf. But he called me, and he said he wanted to bring over Darcy, who runs CanCare, and then he wanted to bring over Titus Harris and Jeff Zinn. I didn't really know what they wanted. Even though I support CanCare every year, I didn't know what they wanted, so they showed up to my Carrabba's on Kirby. And they wanted me to be the, and I'm not really a great chairman, I guess, but they wanted me to do that. And I said, sure, you know, because yes is the answer, what's the question, whatever. I can't say no. And it's for a great cause, so I didn't want to say no. And then they said, well, you know Charlie, don't you? And I said, sure, I know Charlie. And they go, would you call him? I said, I'm not really good at asking for favors. But Charlie said yes, and because he's a giver and he gives back. And so, you know, when you put Charlie Epps's name, you know, Charlie Epps, when you put his name on something, you're going to sell out a golf tournament.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, it's hard to accept that, but those are nice words, and I appreciate it, and I try to be nice to everybody, my mom and dad, just like your mother, father. You know, it doesn't take anything extra to be nice. And I came into Houston and didn't know anybody, and I went to Memorial Park. The first golf course you go to in the city is a city park. And J.B. Hutchins, who was the golf pro, and I asked around. He gave me some good guidance, and it's been the best thing that ever happened to me, living in Houston, Texas, and becoming the pro at Houston Country Club, but knowing the community. So it's I appreciate it giving back because I learned from Jackie Burke.
Humbling words to hear from you, too. And remember, the 30th annual CanCare Golf Classic, that's Monday at Memorial Park. The teams are full. You can still go to www.cancare.org/golf to still get involved, even though the teams are full. And remember, mark it on your calendar for next year so you can play some golf as well. There'll be a golf, there's an auction, there's a wine raffle, and, of course, Charlie Epps is the 30th anniversary honoree.
And a check for $50. We're not looking for a lot of money. You know, we get 1,000 people to give $50. Man, that's a good contribution, and that'll go a long way, won't it?
You know, well, I know we got to get going, but I'm going to tell y'all something. I was going through a little hard time in my life, you know, and I was going to a personal coach, a psychologist, and he said, "What's on your mind?" I said, "You know, I'm tired of giving." I said, "I feel like I'm getting taken advantage of." And it was a personal relationship, but wouldn't have anything to do with it. It was a charity, but it wasn't a charity. But anyhow, so y'all had to read into that one. And I said, "I'm tired of giving." And he looked at me, and he goes, "Why do you give?" I said, "I give to make people feel good." He said, "Hey, man," he goes, "that's not why you give." He goes, "You give because it makes you feel good." He goes, "Don't stop giving." And so the more we give, the better we feel about ourselves. So that's my – he corrected me really quick.
Share.
Acts of kindness go a long way.
That's right.
Johnny, if you had one thing in your golf game that Charlie needed to fix, what would it be?
How much time do I have?
You have 2.5 minutes.
Well, okay, so – while we were off the air, I was going to go through this story, but, you know, I'm not a good golfer, but I'm like a 5, okay? You know, and I can't play to a 5, but whatever the handicap system is. But the other day, I might have been under the influence a little bit from the night before, but, Charlie, I go out and I bogey the first hole. The next 8 holes were double bogeys. The ball was, you know, kind of going directly right. And I shoot a 53. I've never shot a 53 in my life. I come back and I bounce back with a 38. So, you know, I'm glad I bounced back. But I would think that the question I have for you is, how do I sit on my right side without that, you know, the spine going to the right, you know, like, you know, swaying? I guess you would call it a sway. How do I keep over the ball?
You know, a compass to draw a circle?
Yeah.
It has a point where you stick it in the paper and you turn around it. Okay, so you have to have more weight on the left foot than the right foot to pivot, and that will keep that right hip from going sideways. It's everything in golf is circular, centrifugal force, but have a fixed point, more weight on the left foot than the right foot on most golf shots that you play, and you have to practice that. The one thing that people don't do, and you get to play very little, so you want to go play. You don't want to go practice. Fall in love with practice. An hour practice twice a month will help you tremendously. But to answer your question, your hip is going sideways because you're shifting your weight laterally instead of rotary. And you got to get rotary, is you got to have a fixed point. You got to turn around that point. Just like that compass. So
the back
that.
Right pocket has to go back
behind
and up.
Yeah,
behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, that was, it's really been on my mind. And so, you know, I'm playing tomorrow morning, and I'm really nervous about it.
Well, that,
just bring,
know,
a lot of money,
that's,
huh?
That's fine, yeah. But get to the course about 15 minutes sooner.
Yeah.
You just don't walk to the first tee, hit a few wedges. That's wedges, you have to have more weight on the left foot all the time. You can't get back, and that'll teach that right hip to get more behind instead of going laterally to the right.
Now I know why they call you the golf doctor.
The golf doctor.
Will you be playing Monday, Johnny? Are you more roving or checking in?
No,
no, okay.
I'm playing.
Okay.
I'm playing, and I'm playing with some really good guys, my Sunday racket, Braverman, and
I'll be coming to watch him. Say I'm just driving around, so I'll be.
Charlie checks in on everyone.
I'll have my eye on you.
You know what, Charlie? I'm already nervous about you watching my golf swing. It's like any time that you or Mr. Jackie Burke was ever around, it's like I would just kind of clam up.
The bucket hat when he kind of lowers it on the right side, covering the right eye, that's intimidating. Charlie, you're a gem. Johnny Carrabba, you're the best. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Will. Thank
you,
Charlie, for everything.
Great time, Johnny.
Thank you, Justin, behind the ones and twos. We'll see you next week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.